Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Fingers on Buzzers.
Welcome back, everybody.
Oh, we've missed you so much.
Oh, it's been, what a week.
What a week it has been and what delights we have to bring you. Well, do you know what? I do feel a bit emotional and we've got quite an emotional call from Paul Stagg.
Oh.
Who is looking for footage of his late father on 15 to 1 and we're hoping that you guys are going to be able to help. We'll give
if
you all the
anybody
details
can,
of that.
It's our listeners.
It's the FOB gang. Yep. We're also going to be talking to someone you know rather well, Jen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Olivia van der Werf.
Ah.
Yes. Who, tell us a bit about Olivia. Ah.
Olivia is, she's got a very important job on the chase in mm-hmm. that she is our independent adjudicator. She oversees everything that goes on and make sure it's all above board for everybody concerned.
And she is calm, competent and amazing. I've encountered her work and
I've seen her talk down a fox.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, there we
yeah.
go.
So I mean if you can cope with Basil brushing his pomp.
Yes.
Then
and indeed Jay Rayner in my case.
Yes. So, oh my goodness. Yes, of course you've got that incident.
She's taken on both the brush and the Rayner. And we will also be discussing quizzing in the 60s.
I'm looking forward to this.
If you remember yeah. quizzing in the 60s, you weren't there. That's what they say, but I'm going to jog people's memories and we also of course have our listener quiz this week set by the brilliantly named Beverly Mountain.
No relation to Beverly Hills.
Hey!
Big sister.
Oh, very, very good. Oh, that's terrible. All coming up. I'm just going to recover from that. So, Jen, we are going to continue talking about the history of quizzing. Mm-hmm. And we have moved on. Our decade this week is the 1960s.
Psychedelic.
Ooh, everyone was on drugs, doing quizzing on drugs. They weren't at all. The
quizzing on drugs.
No.
Don't try it, kids.
Don't do drugs.
It's not going to help the quizzing.
No, very much not.
Unless, you know, you want to start answering in colours.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Nobody wants just abstract pictures on their pub quiz answer sheets. You know,
interpretive dance.
Well,
I've tried to answer a quiz question with interpretive dance. It didn't go well.
No, do you know what? That I would love to go to a dance quiz. Right, we'll do that. We'll do that.
Does anybody know a specialist dance quiz?
Well, when we do our Fingers on Buzzers live events, we will have a specialist interpretive dance round. There we go. That's my promise to you. The listener, we will do that, and Jenny and I will lead the way. So, as well as drugs and rock and roll and sex and all the other things that were invented in the 1960s, TV, particularly in Britain, was all about game shows. So quizzing, which had been incredibly popular in the 40s and 50s, started to take a little bit of a backseat to things like Take Your Pick.
Oh.
The Golden Shot.
Yes.
It's a Knockout.
Oh.
Right? Mr. and Mrs. Amazing era for sort of crazy funny games, and some brilliant hosts coming through like Bob Monkhouse and Des O'Connor. So it was a great age for game shows. Mm-hmm. But of course, quizzing was still going on, and some of our very favourite quiz shows debuted in the 1960s. So I thought we'd just take a look at some of the shows that premiered
memory
in the 60s. So 1962. University Challenge made its first appearance, and everyone knows what huge fans we are.
We are.
So 1962, University Challenge. 1962 also, it was a bumper year for quizzing because Top of the Form made its television appearance. It had been on the radio, but that was when Top of the Form appeared on our television screens. And then a little bit later, Ask the Family.
Yes.
1967 is when that started. And so these were all amazing series that ran for years and years. And I thought, well, we've talked about University Challenge, we've talked about Ask the Family, but we haven't really talked about Top of the Form.
No.
And I thought it'd be quite interesting because I think this era, in the 60s, you do kind of see a separation between the games of chance and sort of physical skill. Mm-hmm. So I think because, as we discussed last week, there'd been all these scandals in the 50s where people had been rigging quizzes and people had sort of lost a bit of faith in that. So I think in America and over here, people suddenly thought, actually, let's just see stuff where it's just random, it's chance, or it's something that isn't about, it's something you can't
it's
be given
skill.
The answers to. So those all became very popular. And quizzing, particularly in this country, kind of became kind of more serious again. So actually, when you look at things like University Challenge and Ask the Family, and particularly Top of the Form, it's quite extraordinary to me the level of sort of erudition in these programmes. So to me, it seems incredible that Top of the Form was on BBC One, okay, because it was such a kind of a worthy programme. Mm. The Top of the Form was, it started off on radio, it was on the Light programme from May 1948. And it then was transferred to TV in 1962. So this is the TV debut of Top of the Form. And so Top of the Form was for schools and places of sort of secondary education. So I think Top of the Form illustrates the fact that in the 60s, you had your game shows, which were the light entertainment stuff, and then quiz shows were quite serious, and they were definitely not dumbed down.
The highbrow stuff.
Really highbrow. For a start, they did one TV episode completely in Welsh. Right? Isn't that amazing?
Excellent.
On the 25th of March 1974, it was entirely conducted in the Welsh language. They also did a bilingual competition with Paris versus London in June 1973.
This is all gearing up for Going for Gold, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. That's very true. I didn't sort of think that this is...
A forerunner.
Just getting the... Well, there was also the 1967 UK schools took on Australian schools in Top of the Form Transworld edition.
Transworld,
Which was then renamed Transworld Top Team, which then ran until 1973 with teams from Canada, the Netherlands, the US and Hong Kong. But I'm going to share with you some of the questions from Top of the Form.
Okay.
Because I think, you know, you think about University Challenge, you think about Ask the Family, and you think, gosh, yeah, they were quite hardcore questions for young people.
Mm.
Okay? So I'm going to give you some of the questions, and I think you'll find that they're reasonably challenging in that it's not like a one-word answer. So really, these young students had to give quite lengthy answers, which when you're on TV, as we all know, it's quite nerve-wracking just to get a single word out.
Yeah.
You watch these young people in the 60s and indeed in the 70s, because Top of the Form ran through to 1975, and they're incredibly confident and incredibly knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. So this is a sample question, Jenny. So what was the Congress of Vienna of 1814 to 1815?
A peace conference?
Yes, but...
But you need to give the parties, and it was going to end a particular Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah,
you need to give more,
exactly.
The more detail you give. Yeah.
You sort of, if you'd said, you know, when was the Congress of Vienna, then you might guess,
yeah,
I think it's probably, you know, 18, it was post-Napoleonic Wars or whatever. But yeah, so it would be the Congress of Vienna was a meeting of ambassadors of European states chaired by Austrian statesman Clemens von Metternich, held in Vienna from November 1814 to June 1815. It was the objective of the Congress was to provide a long-term peace plan for Europe by settling critical issues arising from the French Revolutionary Wars and the Napoleonic Wars.
Wow.
I mean, you need all that to condense that into your answer, right? So that's the kind of thing. Here's another one. In meteorology, what is a cold front?
Oh, you have to, like, explain. Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Explain what a cold front is,
yeah.
Right? And that's just thrown at you. You know.
I mean, why is it that it should be the teachers that have to do this?
Yes, I know.
Because this isn't... Kids get, you know, yeah, they ask the question and then the teacher's supposed to do the explanation.
Yeah, but these kids had to come up
with... That's a whole different skill set, is to describe something.
Yeah, and it's amazing. I mean, I recommend, again, you know, as with all these quizzes, the brilliant thing is that there are episodes on YouTube that you can watch and listen to. And it's an extraordinary thing. Young people, incredibly confident, they do all speak in that slightly clipped way. And slightly high that children using. It's like now that we're like, oh, yeah, I don't know really, but you know, I think our register has gone slightly lower and a little bit more bored. Whereas all these students, even, you know, wherever they're from, it's all they're very perky and alert and quite high. But
maybe they were on the drugs in the 60s.
Maybe they were. Bathtub speed,
yes,
was what was being given to the contestants on Top of the Form. That'd be a terrible scandal, wouldn't it? If they found out they drugged all of the Top of the Form. But what was quite interesting, though, was that because some of the questions, they were incredible at doing these incredibly long answers, but then they struggled on some things. This is what gave me hope, was that there were some things that I think we'd be sort of better on now. So none of them got this question. What is a homonym?
Oh.
Go on, what would you say? Because you've got to remember, you've got to phrase it. So how do you phrase it?
Yeah, a homonym is a shared name, right? No, something that has homonym.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember the definition.
Yeah. It's quite complicated.
Two things have the same name, or is it when
it's words that sound the same but which have different
meanings? Yeah.
It sort of seems like a more concise thing, but I guess it is. I mean, it is just hard, isn't it? What is dry ice?
Good question.
Solid carbon dioxide.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the answer they wanted.
Waffle
for a bit.
Anyway, I found it a fascinating thing.
Yeah.
So to me, in our history of quiz, I'm going to define the 60s in Britain as the era where quizzing got serious.
It's very cerebral, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cerebral quizzing and fun game shows. So that's my overview of the 60s in quizzing.
And I'm hoping in future decades, the serious quizzing and the fun game show, they collide, they breed, they have babies.
Without giving anything away, we're going on to the 70s.
Hey.
We're about to get into, we're nearly at bullseye territory, aren't we? Which is where worlds collide.
Yes.
So yes, tune in for our next instalment of History of Quiz. On the line with us now, we have Paul Stagg. Now, Paul has a very special request for our listeners, don't you, Paul? Hello, Paul.
Hi, guys. Yes, I do. Hopefully you'll be able to help me.
Yeah, so tell us the nature of your need.
So, it was interesting because the early episode of Series 1 of the podcast, Lucy, you were talking about how your dad always wanted to go into 15-1.
Indeed.
And then obviously he didn't manage to.
Yep.
And then you did later on. Mm. But my dad was fortunate to go into 15-1 when I was much smaller than I am now. And we always had it on a VHS because this was back, you know, I think it was even late 80s, let alone early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad unfortunately passed away about 4 years ago.
I'm sorry.
And we haven't got the tape. And it was only when you were talking about it that I thought, well, I must be able to find this.
Yes.
And so I've had a look out there on YouTube and that, but I'm struggling a little bit. So it was just to sort of, if I could give some details and see if anyone out there might have.
It's one of those things, it might just be on somebody's, you know, VHS and they've recorded an afternoon's viewing, or they've just happened to put together a few, and the ones you are after might be out there.
Well, I feel sort of slightly guilty and heartbroken in a way, because my dad recorded a lot of 15-1 in the late 80s and early 90s, and when my dad passed away, we just thought, oh, do you know, we can't keep all these VHSs, and it's not like we're going to ever transfer them. Mm. And I did, even though at the time I thought, oh, this is such a shame, because there's so much great telly that I'm just getting rid of. But, you know, my heartbreak is that I might well have had that episode, Paul, and we would not even need to have this conversation. But sadly, I don't have it now. But I'm
someone out there must.
And what's also just slightly more strange is I was in the recording of your 15-1 session.
No way!
Ooh.
Yeah,
a friend of mine got tickets to two of the Adam Hill ones. The one, I saw one before you, and then we saw your one. Because I was a fan because my dad was on it. So I actually was there when you were robbed, I felt.
Well, thank you. Man. Thank you, Paul. Yes, I agree. Robbed is very much.
We've gone full circle almost. If you had then the tape, I would have been afraid that there's something more suspicious going on.
Well, I mean, you know, it's already a little bit spooky. That would have made it really spooky. But what would be lovely,
I'm
I think,
not stalking you.
Is it? Well, I mean, but then it's almost like I'm stalking you as well. So, you know, we're stalking each other. But I think there is definitely something magical going on in the universe. Mm. And I think the ideal resolution to this will be that someone will find that tape, and then they will have a connection somehow to both of us, and then it will be an amazing story.
Well, there were 14 other contestants on the show, so, you know, maybe someone else's dad was on there, and
they've kept
that tape.
Well, I tell you what, we'll get in touch with Dave Gorman and Frank Skinner, because they were the architects of my downfall. So I'll, you know, if either of them have got it, then that would be a nice bit of karma.
Oh, that would be too weird.
That would be good, but on the one that your dad was on, some of those other families, yeah, they must have recorded their relatives. So I think there's a good chance that we're going to do this, and I really hope that we do, Paul.
So I thought it was about 1991, but my mum, although they split up at the time, convinced it was 89, as it's my mum, I'm assuming she's more correct than I am. His name was Tony Stagg. He was living in Cardiff at the time, and I think he was about position 9, or that side of the room.
Mm-hmm.
He had a horrible green jumper on, and he got to the final three of that episode, and one of the other three was also called Tony.
Oh.
So there was that interesting bit where they'd have to nominate and then say Tony's surname. So I remember that, and then my dad was second, so it was left my dad, Tony Stagg, and Tony Other. So which makes it slightly unique, but that's all I know, which is quite a lot, I suppose.
That's great. Well, you know, if someone's looking through their old 15-1, so you're looking out for a brace of Tonys and a horrible green jumper, that's it. And it could be 89, 91, possibly sort of anything in that area. It's worth checking the tapes and looking out for Tony and the horrible green jumper. Yeah, that's great. Well, I hope that will give someone a lead.
I'm keeping everything crossed, because that's just going to be such a lovely memento to have.
Yes.
Of a, you know, he must have been just absolutely chuffed to get on there. If he was a quiz fan, a keen quizzer.
Yes. Did you inherit the love of quiz from him?
I think so, to an extent. I remember watching it live, and I would have been, if it was 89, I was only been 10.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't know what was going on, because it's 15-1 and too difficult. But I think so. I think, you know, he was an intelligent guy. He wasn't like, he just had really good general knowledge. So he was perfect for that sort of show.
And did he do any other quizzing? Or was that, so this is his only TV appearance?
That was his only time. I think he wanted to go on the Krypton Factor and the Crystal Maze, but didn't. I don't think he was fit enough for either of those. So, no, I don't think he ever even tried again.
Oh, really? Well, so this is, it's very important that we find this tape. Have you tried Channel 4? Have you been in touch with anyone there?
I haven't, because I just didn't know who to talk to.
Well,
and I think it's sort of now, because it's all now the new episode, you know, the new series that Sandy Togsmith did, it's all sort of, all the information's about that now.
Yes.
You know, on
yes.
my limited Google knowledge.
Yes.
I have trawled through hours of YouTube, but it's painful. I mean, it's not painful to watch 15:20, obviously, but I'm not doing it for that so much.
No. No. Yeah, it's painful when you don't find the thing you're looking for. Well, I will.
There are quite a lot of our listeners who work in TV, you know, producers and you know, the backroom staff. So they might have a better idea of just who to approach.
Yeah, whether
at the network or where some of those things are stashed, because there are archives available. It's just how far back do they go, and who's in charge of them these days.
Yes.
Someone listening to this now will be able to point you in the right direction, I'm sure.
Yeah, because someone said that a few years ago that they were repeating like it from the beginning on Challenge or something like that, and I thought then I'll have to try and look out for it. But that, again, that was difficult. I don't know if that's true or not. So I don't know if there's anything there as well.
Anyone from Challenge? We definitely have people who listen from Challenge.
And I might have made that up, but I think I'm sure it was.
Yeah, well, we shall do everything that we can. We shall pull all the stops out.
I would really appreciate it.
So, Paul, leave that with us. And I mean, and thank you very much for being on the show and for listening to the show as well. And you are, because you are quite a quizzing fan as well, aren't you? What's your favourite quiz of all time, would you say?
I don't know, I was thinking about it, obviously listening to the show, obviously Going for Gold is a given, 15:1, currently only Connect, although I have no idea what's happening.
No, we all love it.
The connecting board. I love the connecting board, I can do that.
Yeah.
But I said to Amanda, I said, I remember Turnabout and Catchword really in my mind.
Well, Turnabout I had totally forgotten about. But it actually ran for quite a long time. It ran for 6 years, Turnabout.
It was sort of that mix between... I like word-based ones, I think, better. My general knowledge is okay, but my vocabulary is much better.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it when it's... So I really like Catchword, because I used to have that... I'm going to really embarrass myself now, but that was about picking the longest letter, and I used to have the longest word in the English language. Or in the dictionary that I remembered from when I was that age and used to learn it from that program.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not going to say it. and crosswit and chain letters.
Yeah.
So I think all the ones I remember are really word-based ones.
Well, do you know, actually, Giles Brandreth and Paul Coyer were the hosts of Catchword. And I'm pretty sure, I've worked with both of those, and they're both lovely men, so... we should try and get them on at some point.
Yeah, we'll get a wordy special.
I just applied to go on Pointless with my mother, so hopefully, you never know.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, well, we should look out for that.
The only ones I watch really currently is Pointless and Only Connect. I think now I'm an adult and I have to go to work.
Yeah.
All of mine are sort of 90s ones that I remember when I was in
school. Oh, well, we should look out for you on Pointless, you and your mum. Well, and that would be a lovely tribute to your dad as well, wouldn't it be, to sort of carry on the quizzing?
We don't kill each other on it.
Yes, you can fall out with people on Pointless. I know that.
You know very well.
I'm doing anyway.
So. Well, if you are on Pointless, then we will make sure we'll record it and we'll hold on to the recording so that we'll know we've definitely got that one. And in the meantime, we will definitely be doing everything we can to find your dad.
Any tips, any leads? Yeah, we feel like we're sort of crime stoppers, but quiz finders.
The quiz finders.
We're the hotline. The get in touch.
It's the same sort of mentality, isn't it? Fixing
yes. We love a puzzle, we love a quiz, and we love a challenge. So leave it with us, Paul. It was such a pleasure to speak to you, and hopefully we'll speak to you soon with a very happy update.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It's time for something I've been looking forward to. It is the listener quiz set this week by Beverly Mountain.
Beverly Mountain.
I can move, 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 Beverly Mountain. That was nice. For any 90s rave fans out there.
We're all 90s rave fans.
So, Beverly Mountain. Producer Amanda, what does Beverly Mountain want to quiz us on?
Well, I think Beverly was so impressed by both of your performances when Stephen Diaper emailed in a couple of weeks ago with his football quiz.
Oh, so his baffling quiz.
So she... So, Beverly's quiz, I think it looks slightly less baffling from my perspective.
Is there anything about principalities in it? What's a principality? What's a thing? I don't know.
Oh, did we settle that, actually?
No, principalities can be countries. He was trying to say that principalities are different from countries. And they were all countries.
I'm going to work it out anyway. No, but it's going to become a mystery through the... But at the end of the series, we'll resolve what that question was all about.
Principality experts they can call in...
What does Beverly Mountain want to quiz us about?
Well, it's a football again.
Hey.
So, love a football quiz, love it.
So I'm just going to crack straight in. I think I've just had a little look and I think I probably won't make such a mess of the questions. Thank you, Beverly.
You can try.
I can do my best. I can do my best. Who was the first footballer to score a goal at Arsenal's new stadium, the Emirates?
Buzz. Thierry Henry.
No.
Oh, it's worth a go.
Oh, now I've got to think of any Arsenal football player.
It's not necessarily an Arsenal player. It could have been the other team, the opposition.
Okay. Buzz.
Go on.
My mind has gone completely blank. I'm going to say... Give me a letter. Give me a letter and I'll think.
It's not an obvious name.
Michael Bum Bum.
Surprisingly,
Terry football. Terry football. No,
I'm going to give you the initials. First initial is O, and the second initial is M.
Oscar
Olimers.
Oh, very good.
No, it's
Oti Mabuse.
What's the first name?
Olof.
Olof Palmer's the only one.
That's immediately where my brain went.
Yeah, no. Olof Marison.
Go on.
I think I'm just going to have to
say.
Yeah,
you are.
Otherwise, we'll be here for quite a long time, I think. It's Olof Melberg. Never heard of him either.
Olof Melberg.
I've heard of him, but it would have been a long time coming.
Again, I think you kind of really have to know about the beautiful game to get this one, but...
Beautiful game.
You know, you might get lucky, Lucy, but question number two. Ouch. Who scored Aston Villa's only goal in their European Cup win in 1982?
Oh, Aston Villa 1982 would have been...
I thought you said this was easier than the other one.
It's easier for me to read, I said.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm looking around the room for inspiration. Jeff Lamp. Sebastian Coathook.
No. I wish the first name was Mike, but it's not.
It would have been good.
Initials again? Please.
PW.
Pete Waterman.
Peter Williams. Peter Wilson. Peter
Withy.
Okay. Nil-nil.
It's like an unexciting lower league football game, isn't it? So it's still 0-0. Nothing's really happened.
So I think you both could stand a fighting chance of getting this one.
Good. Okay.
So who is the statue of outside Villa Park?
Is this person from from Birmingham, this quiz writer.
Villa, who's a famous Villa player? Is it a manager?
Oh, I don't know.
She looks so offended that you might
Jeff
even ask
us. I have no idea. No, it's not.
I don't know. I don't know who he is.
Initials, please.
WM.
William Makepeace Thackeray.
William Morris. William, is it William?
It is William.
William.
Martin. No. No.
It's William McGregor.
How did you think we'd know that? I love the way you
go. I really thought that you'd just know because it's more about statues than it is about football.
No.
Was William McGregor a manager?
I don't know who it is. Okay, right. Really.
Do you think Barbara's having a little bit of fun with us?
Yeah. I mean, at least I've heard of the other two.
I'm just Googling Aston Villa now.
I think, right, both of you are going to get this, okay?
Come on.
So, what junction of the M6 is nearest to Villa Park?
Oh, now this is much more
this
my
is more
kind
for
of
you, because you travel up and down the country all the time.
No, but you know, actually, I really don't know.
I don't know the order of the junctions.
No, what junction of the M6 is nearest to Villa Park? So it's the junction. It's Junction 6. What's the name?
Spaghetti Junction.
Yes.
Oh, no. I was trying to think of the number.
Actually, Junction 6 was part of the answer. I've just realised. So.
Gravelly Hill Interchange.
The Gravelly Hill Interchange. Yes.
Thank you. Can I have a point now?
Yeah, you can. They'll have one each.
Who was the Villa manager when they won the European Cup?
You may be able to hear some typing.
I can hear some typing. I can see some typing, Lucy.
Initials, please.
TB.
Terry Butcher.
Sorry, was that an
That's where my brain went as well. Tony.
Yep.
Tony Barton.
Yes.
I knew I would have thought she's just opened up the Wikipedia page for Aston Villa.
Oh, is that the softly spoken assistant manager, Tony Barton, who replaced whoever the... Oh, I'm looking at the wrong bit of the page.
So four out of five of those were about Villa.
Yeah. But Beverly Mountain did was she lured us in. She thought it's a general quiz. She knew. She'd been listening and she knew that Amanda never reads the quiz before. She
She'd literally be sending any kind of filth in.
Yeah. Do bear this in mind, listeners. If you're going to send a quiz in, Amanda never reads them. So it will just come
Well, I think she might read the first line and be like, that's fine. Yeah. And so you can lure her into a false sense of security and then hit with some really hard pronunciations later on.
The reason I don't read them is just because it's often I'm sort of collating them the night before we record, so I always think, I'll read them on the tube on the way in, and then I forget to do that.
You work very hard, and we don't. Who's the current manager of Aston Villa?
Terry Football.
Terry Football. Weirdly, it is. Yeah.
It's changed. Is it changed fairly recently?
I don't know. It's Dean Smith. Apparently, I just googled it.
I don't know who Dean Smith.
He looks nice enough. He looks like, you know, your dad's mate.
Oh, right, yeah.
He's one of those. In fact,
I don't know, my dad's got some weird mates.
Oh, my God, he looks like your dad's mate. He's the same age as me. Oh, sorry, Dean Smith. I still think I'm 21. Good, well, thank you very much. Beverly Mountain, you defeated us with your Aston Villa knowledge, and I, for one, shall never forget... William McGregor, and I've already forgotten who they were, to be honest. And then that bloke, Mr. Barton, the softly spoken Mr. Barton. So thank you very much for your listener quiz. Others of you who feel inclined, please send some in. On the line with us now, we have someone that Jenny knows incredibly well and someone I've been privileged to meet on a couple of occasions. It is the one and only Olivia van der Werf.
Hello.
Thank you so much for talking to us, Olivia. That's so nice. Will you explain to us why Jenny and I have encountered you? What is it that you do?
So I run a company called Beyond Dispute. I'm a lawyer. And together with a small team of other people, we are adjudicators on quiz and game shows.
Yes, including the chase.
Including the chase, yes.
That's
absolutely
the best one, obviously, as we've firmly established, the best quiz on British television at the moment. And it's an aspect of the business that I think a lot of people don't know about. Obviously, everyone thinks, oh, well, there must be some kind of adjudication. But I don't think that people realise that there are dedicated professionals such as yourself who do it. And how did you get into this particular line of work?
Well, entirely by accident, really. I was a lawyer and I was in the right place at the right time when a friend of mine was opening some studios in Bristol where they were going to make a deal or no deal.
Ooh.
And she said, "You're a lawyer, come and work for us for 3 weeks," which was the first time I'd ever really done anything about television. So I spent 3 weeks working on series one of Deal or No Deal, and then I worked on that for a few years, and then it developed, because obviously Deal or No Deal was being the only person who knew where the money was, which was fun, not complicated in the main. But now it's much more fairness advice, Ofcom compliance, making sure things are fair and that shows are run properly. So it's much more varied now, which is great.
So Olivia, you get involved right at the beginning when the format's first being devised, is that right?
I do. So ideally, producers come to me really early on and we discuss their format and we look at whether or not the format is fundamentally fair. And then there's a whole process where we make sure that the rules work, that the technology is in place to do it fairly. And then going forward, I will be in studio helping resolve issues as they arise. And that can be anything from a buzzer not working, to a question being challenged, to a host getting the giggles.
Naming no names.
Can't imagine who that might be.
Well, in fact, talking of resolving disputes, now, you were there when I appeared on the Celebrity Chase, and I have spoken on this podcast before about how exciting it was when Jay Rayner challenged an answer. There was the name of a cheese that he took issue with.
Cheese related.
And I have to say, Olivia, you stepped in and it was a masterful performance. Aww. It was seeing a professional at work. It was incredible because you were swift. You were decisive, you made us all feel reassured, and you resolved the issue very, very quickly. So talk us through your kind of process. So we were in the studio, Bradley says to Jay Rayner, "No, you're wrong, the answer was whatever." And Jay Rayner said, "No, I stand by my answer. My wife," it was something, his wife was from somewhere or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was like, "No, my cheese fact is correct." I mean, he wasn't that angry.
No.
I'm over-dramatising it. So what goes through your head when that happens?
Well, I have to confess, I love it when there's a challenge. and I love it when things go just a little bit wrong. Mm-hmm. And so that I have something to get stuck into. With a challenge like that, I am very lucky, particularly on a show like The Chase. There is a fantastic questions team. And as you know, Jenny will know from personal experience, that, I mean, there is a huge team that write the questions and research the questions. So when an answer is challenged, there, it's not just me. I'd love to say it was all about me, but it isn't all about me. There is a whole team resolving it. And my role is to help them make a conclusive decision when all the facts are there. And quite often the questions team will do the research and say, "No, that challenge is fine." And then it's my job to deliver the information, whether it's accepting it or not, because then sometimes obviously you might have a really cross contestant who needs to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
But on other occasions when there is a discussion to be had, then it's for me to help work out exactly what we're going to do. And obviously time is of the essence. On a Celebrity Chase show, you've got an audience, you've got a studio, you've got a whole crew of people waiting for it to be resolved. So we try and do it as fast as possible. And my job is to make sure that everyone is comfortable that the right decision has been made and that contestants then agree to be bound by that, and we can move on slickly without drama, is the idea.
Yes, I mean, no drama is very much the aim, isn't it? Of, I mean, in a way, I was like, oh God, I hope Jay Rayner really goes off on one, but
he, yes, he was, I mean, I quite enjoy that too, to be honest.
He was very good. And we were also talking on another episode of the podcast about how you had to intervene on another episode of The Chase where Basil Brush was involved.
That was possibly, I mean, that was a career highlight.
Lovely.
Basil was an absolute joy to work with. And so quite often we have an issue during a recording, and it's my job to go onto the floor and to talk to the contestant to explain what we're going to do and what they need to do and what the issue is. Now, obviously, Basil comes to the studio with a special friend, and beforehand we had a chat about whether, if there was a moment like this, whether I should talk to Basil or to his friend. And we agreed that talking to Basil was appropriate about a very rulesy thing.
Yeah.
I was delighted that we had stopped during Basil's time round. They gave me the opportunity to have a chat with him. I got a lovely bit of footage of me having quite an in-depth briefing moment with Basil, and Bradley standing behind me mocking me about me briefing Basil.
You can't help though, but just you engage directly with those little foxy eyes.
Yes,
and you just make eye contact, and there is no friend.
There is no friend in that moment. I tell you what, Olivia, please make that footage available, because that is something I would love to see. Basil Brush consulting a lawyer.
I'll see if I can do that. It was a lovely moment. I loved working with Basil.
Oh, he is great.
Sorry, Jenny.
No, it's all right.
Yeah, she's over it.
He's a friend of the show.
Yeah, she's fine now. Yeah. They've buried the hatchet. It's absolutely fine. And so what would you do, right? Let's think of famous controversies. You weren't involved in the millionaire coughing major.
No, sadly not.
What do you think about that? I mean, you know, are you keeping an ear out for coughing these days or looking for other signs of cheating?
Absolutely. I mean, our role is a whole range of things. We are making sure that producers stick to the rules. We're making sure that they resolve disputes fairly. But we are also making sure that contestants are behaving, that they aren't having eye contact with the wrong people, and dealing with that as we go. So, for example, I do a show called Child Genius where children are answering questions and their parents are in their eye line. And every so often we have an issue where a parent might intentionally or not be communicating the answers because the parents are so bound up in that moment that they can't help mouthing the answers.
Oh God, I mean,
in Morse code.
You see your child there struggling and it would be very, very tempting. Very tempting.
Really, really tough, intentionally or not. Mm. So we did have a moment like that where we stopped and I reviewed the footage, and you could see, first of all, that the mother wasn't doing it intentionally, and secondly, that actually at none of the key moments was the child looking at the mother, although they could have been. And if they had an advantage from that, then we would have had to have dealt with that, but fortunately they didn't get any points as a result, so it was okay. Our role is to look out for all those angles to see what could be going on that might mean that the outcome isn't fair.
It's such an interesting job, isn't it?
I love it. I am incredibly lucky. I mean, fundamentally, I'm a compliance lawyer, which is just about the most boring job I've ever done. And yet, one minute I'm briefing Basil Brush about rules, and the next minute I'm laughing till I cry because Keith Lemon has been ridiculous during the quiz show. I mean, it's great. I'm very lucky.
The lesson to our listeners here as well is that next time you're at a party and you say to someone, what do you do? And they say, oh, I'm a compliance lawyer. Don't just glaze over and move on. You know, there may be stories to tell there. So
absolutely.
You know. Olivia, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. And
Thank you.
You know, and I hope to see you again. But it's one of those situations where you sort of go, well, I hope to see you, but I hope not to be on the wrong side of you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
I'm sure that could never happen.
I would never cheat. I would never cheat.
No.
So yes, thank you. It's been an eye-opening discussion. And I think people are a lot more informed. So thank you very much, Olivia van der Berf.
Super.
Right, another very enjoyable, for us at least, episode of Fingers on Buzzers.
Enlightening.
I feel enlightened. I know more about Aston Villa than I ever wanted to, I'll tell you that much.
I didn't know I knew so little.
I know. It's been an eye-opener to all of us. And it was such a pleasure to speak to your colleague, Olivia van der Berf.
Yeah.
And also Paul Stagg. And just to reiterate, if you've got any old 15 to 1 on VHS, have a look through. And let's see if we can make all Paul's...
Call the quiz tip hotline.
Please do. We're waiting for your call. Thank you very much for listening. That was Fingers on Buzzers. See you next time.
Ta-ta.
Bye-bye.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.